to informal interviews, and we're going to go to case 2276, first to Jeremy Shapiro, DVM. We're going to get him on the phone, or the complainant on the phone. I know we've got Mr. Campbell here.
We're going to get both on the phone. It's going to be a little awkward.
So we can do that? Okay.
So, just to see.
Be a repeat of the last time.
So, just as a reminder, you to put your microphones on so Dr. Shapiro can hear you. I'll have to push the button and have that green light on. And I'll get him on first, and then I'll get him.
Mark, am I going to be? No, just kind of, we can skip that piece of it, right? And just.
Yeah, I think if you'd like just to kind of jump ahead and mention that we're just giving the doctor an opportunity to respond.
Hi, Dr. Shapiro. It's Tracy at the veterinary board.
Telephone issues last time.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Hello?
Hello, Dr. Shapiro?
Yes, I can barely hear you.
Okay. Can you hear me?
You can barely hear you.
Oh. Let's try this. Can you hear me any better?
Mildly.
Okay, maybe someone's other microphone can.
Can you hear me?
Oh, just press.
I can hear you.
No.
Where's the mic?
I don't think you press and hold. There you go.
Yeah. Oh. Just go ahead. Leave it. It's green.
Once it's green,
leave it
just leave it.
Yeah, don't press it. Okay, it's not green. There you go.
It's
okay,
flashing, but it still works.
Oh, okay.
That's a battery.
So, can anybody hear?
Yes.
Can you hear me on it?
No.
Rita, do you want to try your microphone?
Dr. Shapiro, can you hear me?
It's all. Hello? Oh, there we go.
That sounds horrible.
Yeah.
You were in Christmas.
So I have two phones. We can always try to Dr. Shapiro, let me try to call you on a different line.
Okay.
I'm going to go ahead and disconnect.
I mean, I can barely hear him. If that's right. Going to be his static, too, we're going to be in the same situation as last month.
Let me go ahead and disconnect, and I'm going to call you on a different line, okay?
Tracy may also ask him if he's on speakerphone to go to handheld. That might help.
Okay.
That's a good point.
Should have sent him a Zoom invitation.
We can record it.
We might try that.
Dr. Shapiro, can you hear me better this way?
Mark, are we better? Yes.
Okay, are you on speakerphone?
No, I'm not. I do have a sore throat, so my voice is a bit weird.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure. So we're going to. I'm trying to get you on kind of a speaker here.
I can hold it.
Would you like to hold that for a second while I get something? I also have to grab. Here's something you can stick it on.
So these aren't mounted. You probably turn them on the side too and just do that.
Just put it, yeah, and put it. Make sure you guys might want to put your microphones on.
Can they all be on at the same time?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All building will hear us.
Yes. And let me get the complainant.
Do you want to type in on this whole tube? Can you get two people?
I don't know how to do that.
This is Krista.
Hi, Ms. Brown. This is Tracy at the veterinary board. So I have you on speaker. The board is going to start the meeting on the continuance of Dr. Shapiro's informal, okay?
Okay. Okay, so everyone on the phone can hear me okay?
Yes.
All right. So we are on item 2276 in regards to Jeremy Shapiro, DVM. As everybody knows, this is a continuance of the informal interview that was held last month at our August 17th meeting. And this is being done for the purpose of receiving additional information due to the fact that Dr. Shapiro is having some telephonic complications and was unable to hear some of the complaints, comments, and questions. And so we wanted to give Dr. Shapiro the opportunity to comment and to present again to the board. And I would just ask Dr. Shapiro that we do try and limit our discussion specifically to what the complainant had mentioned in her testimony last month. And I think that sounds good. Let's see, and then Dr. Gosley is the lead on this one. I don't know, Tracy, or do we need to give a description of the case again or read off any of those items, or can we just?
I think we can defer to the board members whether or not they need a recap.
Okay.
Again, you know, we're not here to redo the what took place last month, but only to give Dr. Shapiro an opportunity to respond to what the information the complainant provided the board. I would ask that either we swear in the Dr. Shapiro again and the complainant, or that they just be advised that, and you know, that they're still under oath.
Okay, great. And then just again, as a reminder, we did find violations last month. Certainly after hearing from, you know, and both parties will have the opportunity to speak, but we can certainly look at if we, you know, the board wants to vote to rescind any of those motions or change anything. So Dr. Shapiro, I'll go ahead and just swear you in for the record. Do you swear affirm the evidence that you will be giving will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Okay, thank you. So we're going to go ahead and let Dr. Shapiro and your attorney speak first, and then I will give our complainant on the phone the opportunity to speak as well, and then of course you guys will have the last comment. So whichever of you wishes to start.
Dr. Shapiro, allow me to just briefly address the board. My name is Reed Campbell and I represent Dr. Shapiro. As you may recall, last month's hearing following Dr. Shapiro's testimony, there was an issue with the complainant's connection and the board took a break to reestablish the connection. Unfortunately, Dr. Shapiro was placed on hold, and when the hearing resumed, he wasn't taken off of hold. And so he didn't get a chance to hear her testimony or respond to it. Ms. Brown claimed in that testimony that Dr. Shapiro failed to adequately consult with her regarding the TPLO surgery during a call that they had on the morning of December 2nd. Based on this testimony, the board found a violation for failing to properly communicate the procedure, the risks, the aftercare, instructions, and found a violation of the Veterinary Practice Act based on that uncontested testimony. The fact that Dr. Shapiro was left on hold didn't come to light until after the board had voted and adjourned the hearing. And as a result, Dr. Shapiro was denied the opportunity to contest this testimony and provide you with a complete record from which you could evaluate this case. Over the last month, I've worked with the Fed Board's Executive Director, Ms. Whitmore, Deputy Assistant Attorney General, Mr. Harris, and Tracy, to figure out a remedy to this unique situation. The board shared a copy of its informal interview transcript, and Dr. Shapiro submitted a response to you that came last week. I hope you had a chance to review it. He also provided statements from several members of his former practice's staff that all corroborated the extensive time that Dr. Shapiro spoke on the phone with the complainant. On the morning of December 2nd, Dr. Shapiro will testify about that more in a second. I submit that you should reconsider your prior decision and have reopened this matter for formal discussion once you have a complete record. Now turn the mic over to Dr. Shapiro to provide you with a brief statement. Following the complainant's testimony, I'll address the board again briefly. Thank you.
Thank you.
Dr. Shapiro, go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you for providing me the opportunity to respond to Ms. Brown's informal interview testimony after the technical difficulties that occurred last month. As you by now know, I was placed on hold following my testimony to you so that Ms. Brown could be reconnected and testify before the board. When Ms. Brown was reconnected, I was inadvertently left on hold and thus unable to hear or respond to the testimony she provided. After the hearing, I was provided a transcript of Ms. Brown's testimony and was shocked at the inaccurate information she provided. In an effort to make sure the board has a complete and accurate understanding of my communications with Ms. Brown, I provided you with a supplemental response, witness statements from others who were present during my consultations with Ms. Brown, and directed you to portions of the medical record previously provided that directly contradict Ms. Brown's testimony, specifically her allegation that I failed to properly explain the TPLO procedure, its risks, or Calvin's prognosis. While Calvin's outcome was tragic, and I am sympathetic to any owner who loses a pet, Ms. Brown has falsely and inaccurately described the scope of my communications with her before and after the TPLO surgery. My conversations with Ms. Brown were always comprehensive, lasted significantly longer than similar conversations I had with other pet owners under similar circumstances, and our discussions only ended when all of Ms. Brown's questions and their concerns were addressed. On December 2nd, when I determined that Calvin would most benefit from TPLO, Ms. Brown was properly guided through the procedure, the aftercare requirements, and we had a forthright discussion about Calvin's condition, prognosis, and quality of life. Our discussion, per my recollection, lasted over 30 minutes. The length of this conversation can be supported by both the 66-minute delay between the administration of anesthesia and the start of the TPLO surgery, and by reviewing the numerous pet doctor staff members' statements. Ms. Brown's description of this consultation is brief, is simply wrong. Following the procedure, multiple pet doctor staff members, including myself, in both verbal and written communication, also informed Ms. Brown of the strict post-operative care instructions. Unfortunately, per testimony from one of our receptionists, these instructions were not followed, and Kelvin experienced the unfortunate but not unforeseen complications. Over the next 2 weeks, Ms. Brown reached out to the clinic repeatedly and was provided timely responses to her text inquiries. When I was in clinic, I personally addressed all of her concerns. When I was out of office, I repeatedly relayed messages to her through my staff. Ms. Brown was a demanding client and was unhappy when I was not available to her 24/7. However, Ms. Brown's concerns and questions were always answered. Unfortunately, Calvin experienced complications when Ms. Brown or her pet caretakers failed to strictly follow the aftercare instructions. I believe that Ms. Brown's regret of Calvin's post-operative handling and her unrealistic demand that I be available to her 24/7 has led to this complaint and to Ms. Brown's inaccurate testimony. At last month's hearing, the board voted to find a violation for failing to adequately communicate the risks and benefits of the TPLO procedure and Calvin's prognosis in general. The board made this decision based solely on Ms. Brown's testimony and without the benefit of my response. As detailed in my supplemental response, the medical records, and the staff statements, Ms. Brown's testimony was false. I am confident that had I been provided the opportunity to address these misstatements last month, you would not have found any violations of the Arizona Veterinary Practice Act. Therefore, I respectfully request that, in light of these additional testimony and evidence, the board vacate its prior findings and accept and adopt the investigative committee's unanimous dismissal recommendation. I'm happy to answer any questions you may have. Thank you.
Thank you. Do you have any questions for Dr. Shapiro?
Nothing new based on this information doesn't lead me to ask any more questions. I'm fine.
Okay. Would any other board members have any questions for Dr. Shapiro? Okay, thank you. At this time, I would like to give the complainant, Ms. Brown, the opportunity, if you would like, to respond to Dr. Shapiro's attorney's testimony. Were you wishing to speak, Ms. Brown?
Pretty much the same thing that I said last time, just for the fact that We did absolutely by the book.
So, sorry, Ms. Brown, I'm so sorry. I'm going to stop you real quick. I do want to swear you in just for the record, okay?
Oh.
Okay. Do you swear or affirm that the evidence you are about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
Okay, thank you. And I'm sorry, could you please start over?
Sure. It's not any different than what I had said the last time we did this. As far as not following his instruction, or who I remember speaking to was Roni. I'm not sure of her title, but she said that she was the manager of his office. I think we talked to him very minimally. However, I did very much call him going to the ER trying to figure out how to help my dog from suffering and going through this torture. But we did follow everything he instructed, hands down. So I don't know where that's coming from. They did try to say that Kelvin might have fallen or maybe jumped on his foot or walked on his foot. Please remember to the board that he did call me while my dog was on the table under general anesthesia and said he thinks it's his knee, not his hip. Did not inform me of the recovery and it being completely different from the hip and the intensity and hardness. I mean, like I said last time, we had to hire caregivers to, watch him because he couldn't walk on it. It just really basically ruined his life and what life he had left. And in my opinion, I can't speak for the people, but at the ER, anybody and everybody I spoke to, including Roni at the end, they all said the surgery should have never been done, much less I should have had time to discuss about going from a hip to a knee and, how much worse this surgery is. So, nothing else has changed for my testimony, and I just hope the board will continue to, I don't know what to say. I've never been in a situation like this. I'm sorry.
It's quite all right.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Are you finished?
Yes, I am.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. I would now like to offer Dr. Shapiro and his attorney, Mr. Campbell, the opportunity to make any final comments.
Yeah, I'll just make a brief statement.
I'm sorry, I didn't ask. Did you?
Can we ask questions?
Yes, I'm sorry. Ms. Brown, I think we might have a question for you from Dr. Nosley.
Oh, okay. Hi, Dr. Nosley.
Hi. just if we could focus in on the conversation, setting the stage for you. We were ready to do the hip surgery, and that was then changed, the doctor changed to a knee surgery. And could you focus in on that specific conversation, which I believe was over the phone, correct?
Correct.
And at the conclusion of that, did you have a pretty good or a full understanding of what was going to now be done to the knee?
No.
So, can you elaborate a little on that? What did you think was going to happen?
I remember I was working when he called, and he said that Calvin's on the table, and as he's looking inside of his knee, or what he thought would be, now I'm getting mixed up, was the hip, and then it changed to the knee, if I'm remembering correctly. He said, I don't think it's the hip. I see the knee is messed up. So I know that I felt, okay, he's laying on the operating table, and he needs my permission to change up the surgery, but I did not have any time to research, to find out the intensity and the recovery difference. It was all, I remember just feeling very panicked and why are we being, you know, why are you calling me and doing this after my dog is on your table and you saw something, you know, when you went in to do his hip? It just, I just remember feeling, yeah, you have to do whatever you have to do, of course, and,
right.
You know, there's a repercussions. Go ahead, sorry.
Do you remember a discussion about plates and screws and making a cut, if you will, in the tibia? Do you remember a discussion about the details of actually what was going to be done on that knee?
No, not before the surgery. The phone call was very,
afterwards.
You know, short because he was on the table. However, after the surgery and the hardware poking through his skin two times in two different places, we had discussion of what the heck is this, what's going on.
But I'm referring to at the time of the phone call when they were ready to do surgery. At that point, you didn't recall a description of what exactly was going to be done with that knee involving plates, screws, and cutting.
That's correct. With the knee, I do not recall being explained how this was going to go to win.
Okay.
You know.
Thank you.
Sure. Thank you.
That's all.
Okay. Are there any other questions for the complainant? I'd also like the record to state we have Dr. Wright and Ms. Solomon who are going to be recused from this item, and I believe it's simply because they were not here for last month's meeting or discussion.
For Dr.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, if there are no further questions for the complainant, now we're back to Dr. Shapiro and your attorney.
Thank you. I'll say a brief closing statement. Thank you again for providing Dr. Shapiro and I a chance to address you and for providing the complaint with a chance to respond. I think it's important that the board has the complete information when it evaluates and makes decisions, because these impact of that's professional standing. They're searchable when there's a violation, and so we want to make sure that we get it right. The board, when it reached its conclusion to find a violation, didn't have a couple of pieces of information that I think are really important. One, the conversation on December 2nd lasted over 30 minutes. You heard that directly from Dr. Shapiro. It's supported by the statement of the veterinary technician who was monitoring the anesthesia. And it's corroborated by the anesthesia records themselves that show a 66-minute gap between the start of anesthesia and the beginning of the TPLO surgery. That time, Dr. Shapiro testified, and in his response noted to you that he was talking to her about the TPLO surgery, the risks, the prognosis, and the aftercare instructions, and that he also provided her, and this is also in his statement to you that was submitted last week, that he said if she wasn't comfortable, that they didn't have to go through with that procedure today, but that if she wanted to move forward, he could do so. The complainant is a nurse, so she has a background in general medicine. And certainly in 30 minutes, would have asked questions had she had them. And Dr. Shapiro testified both in the today and in his statement that they did have that discussion. With regards to the aftercare, the complainant testified at the last hearing that Dr. Shapiro was unavailable, but that's not accurate. He wasn't on days that he wasn't actually in the clinic. His practice has a system where whoever is working, the vet tech will relay a message to him, and then he would give the response and relay it back. This is a week of Christmas, a week before Christmas, and on his days off, he made himself available that way to answer any questions and be available to answer questions. They weren't coming directly from Dr. Shapiro, but that communication channel was open during that time. This situation ultimately had an unfavorable result. The pet passed, which is tragic, and it did so because the discharge instructions weren't properly followed. I'm sure it was unintentional. I've had a dog that had this same surgery, and it's tough. to keep a dog restrained unless you actually have them in a kennel. And this result is unfortunate, but it's not the result of a violation from Dr. Shapiro. Based on this new information, I would request that you open this matter up to further discussion. Evaluate the evidence that you have now before you, the evidence that you were denied due to technical issues last time, and discuss whether there is in fact a communication violation based on the December 2nd, 2021 conversation. I submit that I don't think you'll find there's a violation, that Dr. Shapiro's testimony, the corroborating statements from four independent witnesses who no longer even work with Dr. Shapiro and would have no reason to provide this board with inaccurate information. And then I submit that you'll reach the same conclusion as the investigative committee and find that although this case is tragic and the result unfortunate, it was not the result of a violation of the Veterinary Practice Act, and the communications were appropriate under the circumstances. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. So again, Dr. Nosley is the lead, and just as a reminder to the board, we have a couple of different options here. We can rescind the previous action, or we can approve the proposed findings of fact and conclusions of law today. So, Dr. Nosley, do you want to start the discussion?
Sure. So the first point I would make is I don't think the 30-minute really means anything. You can have a discussion of any length unless it covers what needs to be covered, and to the best of your ability, the owner understands what you're saying, I think is the important factor rather than the length of that conversation. We talked a little bit here, and it's not really a focus of the violation, about the aftercare, and I don't think that matters either in this case. And I appreciate what counsel is saying about how hard it is to confine a dog. They still have to go out. I mean, there's still problems with these dogs and their aftercare after orthopedic. So we had, in our discussion last time, excuse me, we began by having a great deal of discussion about whether this dog should have had any type of orthopedic surgery recommended. And I think, Dr. Thompson, you could help me out, but I think the conclusion was of us that talked about it, none of us would have. Based on the comorbidities, based on the patient, based on the weight, based on the age, based on what kind of procedures we were doing, whether we're going from an FHO to a TPLO. So I would maintain that the order that we issued stand, and if the consensus of opinion is it's not appropriate, the communication issue I'm talking about now, that we revisit another possible violation and open that for discussion.
I would second your motion, just go with what we already have on the record. I agree, I think it's great that there was a 60-minute conversation, but again, what was detailed, not just what the surgery entails and what the aftercare is, but going back to the just because we can doesn't mean that we should, given everything else that's wrong with this dog. Is this truly in the dog's best option to go forward? And giving the owner the opportunity to digest all that information. And we've had plenty of cases where we know it's hard to get pets back in for surgeries once you have that space available, and that can be kind of a little bit of a pickle, but you know, we still ultimately have to do what's right for the pet. And I feel, as you mentioned, when we all discussed this, we were questioning whether moving forward with that surgery was the correct movement.
And that discussion was made in the investigative committee also. So We ultimately decided on the communication because that would cover the issues that you just described. And I guess, does it require another motion?
It does not, only if you wanted to do something different.
Right. We could dismiss and do something different.
Right.
So for, I would say that we'd stand with the order as written.
Perfect. Then what you might want to do now is take a look at the draft order.
Yep.
And if everybody has done that, maybe entertain a motion to adopt the proposed findings of facts and conclusions of law, or modify them if you think that's appropriate as well.
Okay. I believe we should we make a motion to accept the.
Yes.
We'll make a motion then to accept the findings of fact and the conclusions of law as they're stated.
Okay, we have a motion. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
So I wonder, after what we just said here then, is our language in the conclusions of law, failure to provide professionally acceptable procedures by not fully educating the pet owner on the dog's multiple conditions, what surgical techniques were going to entail in their prognosis, because it looks like the surgical technique was explained, if not to everybody's satisfaction, it was done where we thought it wasn't done before, but we're emphasizing should it have ever been done, period.
Correct.
So the multiple, should we emphasize the multiple conditions versus the TPLO had to be done over and over again?
Yeah.
Or it didn't ultimately work.
That's in the order, and in my opinion, that's the most important part of that order, and I wouldn't have any problem amending it. And that would cover the communication issue if we had a full understanding that it was our conclusion that this patient should never have been recommended any surgery at all. I would agree with Mr. Levy. If we wanted to make that, if that would satisfy the board, I would be fine with making that amendment.
Mr. Harris, or
because the other thing we would have to do then is completely dismiss this, what's on the table now, and open it up for discussion regarding the possibility of the 3222-3211 or malpractice. We could cover it in that setting also, so we could go that direction if we wanted to remove the, I personally feel the communication issue is fine the way it is, but I would be amenable to, if we need to take that out, fine, as long as the discussion about there not being proper addressing of the dog's multiple conditions, history, and so forth.
Are you just recommending removing the part where it says what surgical techniques are going to entail, that we struck that from that piece? Then it would, they would read as failure to provide professionally acceptable procedures by not fully educating the pet owner on the dog's multiple conditions and their prognosis.
So, Mr. Harris, when we're changing an order like that, what is...
It's my understanding that what was just said was amending or modifying finding of fact 28.
It's actually... 28 actually looks correct. 29 is where it has under conclusions of law.
Oh, that's good. Okay. So, modify the conclusions of law to reflect the language in finding of fact 28.
So then, go ahead and vote on the change, the modifications of the draft order.
Right. I think it would be to, the motion would be to approve the proposed findings of fact and modify conclusion of law, paragraph 29, to mirror the language set forth in finding of Act 28, but accept all.
Okay.
Is that?
So what?
Yeah.
Okay.
What Mr. Harris
said. I'm fine
with it. Okay. So let's do a roll call vote on this. And Victoria, since I've lost my helper,
I'm going to close the sheet. Oh, I need this one right here. Okay. All right. Ms. Krager?
Aye.
Ms. Frost?
Aye.
Are you calling from 360? It's really choppy. I'm sorry.
No, we're not. The board is just deliberating. Thank you.
I'm so sorry. Okay.
That's okay. Mr. Lohi?
Aye.
Dr. Nosley?
Aye.
Dr. Thompson?
Aye.
Motion passes. Okay. Motion passes. Do we need to do anything further today?
The order.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Now the order stands.
Are there any priors?
No, there's no prior disciplinary history.
None. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
So at this point, it's a remedy at this point. What was recommended?
That's what we discuss right now.
Okay. So I would make a motion that we find violations as stated and the order, and I would make a motion that we have the respondent do 6 hours of continuing education in client communication.
With a 1 year probation?
With a 1 year probation.
Okay. Okay, nothing further? Okay, let's vote. Let's do roll call again.
Yes. Was there a second?
Oh, sorry.
Second?
Okay. We have a motion and a second. We're going to offer 6 hours of, or require 6 hours of CE in client communication and 1 year probation. Okay, so roll call.
Ms. Krager?
Aye.
Ms. Frost?
Aye.
Mr. Lohi?
Aye.
Dr. Nosley?
Aye.
Dr. Thompson?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Okay, well, thank you everyone for joining us today.
Thank you, Ms. Brown. We're going to go ahead and disconnect the call.
Okay, thank you.
You're
welcome.
Bye-bye.
Okay, so we have
Dr. Shapiro, we're going to go ahead and disconnect the call.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We have about 5 minutes before.